Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. 25 and a half more minutes to go here on the program today. Hey, real quickly, we've got our 2025 tours dates set and where we're going. There are two different tours that you need to be aware of. One is our new Boston, Massachusetts, Ed's old stomping ground.
Yeah.
Kind of the cradle of early American history. Boston and the surrounding area, Lexington and Concord and
Freedom Trail.
Quincy and the Freedom Trail, all the sites of Boston.
Right.
We're going to Boston for the first time with a group. We already got people signing up to go with us. That will be a year from now in October, but we've already got it planned on the books. And
is going to be an awesome trip. Yeah. For October.
Wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome. Now, can I ask one question? Go ahead, give the information.
Yeah, I have one question. So that's one tour. That'll be our inaugural tour of Boston and the surrounding area. And then the other tours are the normal tours we take annually to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon, George Washington's Mount Vernon. All those, so if you, those are in June and September. So if you want the pricing, the itinerary, everything that we're going to do and see and how much it costs and when to arrive and all that good stuff, for Boston or for D.C. or for Williamsburg, here's what you need. Give them the website, Wesley.
Let me get it.
It's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Well, we know it's wildmangroup.com. Yeah, you can still go to what you said, Spiritual Heritage Tours, but it's going to redirect you to wildmangroup.com.
Okay.
Wildman,
group.com, or spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritual Heritage.
Well, the whole reason the other one is simpler.
Yeah, but you interrupted me, which made it more confusing. whichever one you want to go to, spiritualheritagetours.com. I'm just so used to giving that over the years. You can go there, but all the date, everything you need to know about those tours. If you want to go with us to Boston, we'd love to have you. Ed, you were going to say?
Yeah, I just have one question. So in terms of food, okay, I know you're shocked. Are you going to make time on that trip to go to the north end of Boston?
Absolutely.
To eat at an Italian restaurant?
Absolutely.
All right.
Allison and I, we did that in July.
Then I highly recommend this tour.
English clean chowder.
We're going to where the Italians are in the Italian restaurants. And
WAP Central.
What'd you call it?
WAP Central.
What does that stand for?
WAP. Well, it's what that's a slur. It's an ethnic slur.
Wide angle
for
press.
It stands for without papers. That's what I was told because they came across. There are a lot of illegal immigrants.
Oh, from Italy?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
They came over. Well, they came over on the boat and they would just say without papers.
Oh, they got mixed in with the general population.
And they just called them WAPs. That's what I was told.
In that north end, there was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 Italian restaurants. I mean, it's a big Italian restaurant area. All right, Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Is the Wildman Group, is that any relation to the Blue Man Group?
You said like Blue Man. Aware of?
No.
Okay.
We do bluegrass.
The bluegrass group. Okay.
Yeah, we do.
And I do have a question for you.
But it's a kind of a bluegrass rap.
That's combo, and it's all done right. through speakers and CDs. Yeah. We don't actually sing it.
It's a unique form.
Anyway, that's good.
Tell me what's
the latest on your Israel tours?
Israel tours. Okay, we're our group that was scheduled to go in March because of what's been going on over there is going in February.
Okay, but you still got plans to go?
Yeah, we're going in February. We're going in February. Okay. I know that what's happening in Israel and Gaza and the northern border get a lot of attention, but we don't go near there. Okay, the tourists don't go near there. So,
yeah.
We're going to be going. We did have to postpone the trip in March, so we're going in February.
Good.
That help?
Yep.
Listen, I feel bad for the people in Israel who are, the tourism industry is huge. I mean, it's, I think it's like second or third most profitable business in Israel is tourism from right. around the world, because it's the Holy Land.
Right.
You know, and people from all over the world come to Israel to see the holy sites and to visit the place where Jesus lived and walked in, and the land of the Bible. So the sooner that gets back to normal, the better for those folks, because you have tour guides, you have bus drivers, you have
restaurants.
You have restaurants that depend on tourism. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Elon Musk has been campaigning with Donald Trump, and I want to play you a little bit. This is a little longer clip than we usually do. We could do this because we want to talk about government regulations and the how they interfere with technology and everything, but this guy's just funny. Elon Musk has a great sense of humor. I just wanted to share this with you all. Cut 11.
SpaceX had to do the study to see if Starship would hit a shark. And I'm like, it's a big ocean, you know. There's a lot of sharks. It's not impossible, but it's very unlikely. And said, well, you have to, you know, this is, I think, from National Marine Fisheries, one of the, you know, NIMF it's called. You know, they were like, well, you have to do the study on whether you're going to hit a shark. We're like, what? We said, okay, fine, we'll do the analysis, and then, well, can you give us the shark data? They're like, no, we can't give you the shark data. We're like, okay, well, then we're in a bit of a quandary. How do we solve this difficult, this shark probability issue? They said, well, we could give it to our Western division, but we don't trust them. And I'm like, am I in a comedy sketch here? And then, like, they're worried about the shark density data, like the people who hunt sharks for shark fins somehow getting their hands on the shark data. And so eventually I think we got the data and we could, you know, run the analysis to say, like, yeah, the sharks are going to be fine. But they wouldn't let us proceed with launch until we did this crazy shark data. And then we thought, okay, well, now we're done. And they said, but what about whales? I'm like, when you look at a picture of the Pacific, what percentage of the surface area of the Pacific do you see as whale? Because I see, look at a picture, I don't see any, it's like, you can't, where's a whale? And honestly, if the ship did hit a whale, it's like, honestly, that whale had it coming, because it's like the odds are so low. You know, it's like Final Destination, the whale edition. It's like fate had it in for that whale, you know. And so we have to do the whale analysis. And it's like, okay, yeah, the whales will be fine too, you know?
Wow.
That guy's hilarious.
No, that is very funny, but that makes a really great point about all these people. And let me tell you, this is those people's job. Yeah. That's why they take this so seriously, because as soon as the federal government goes, you know what, this is kind of a silly job, they're working at McDonald's handing out fries like Donald Trump last weekend. So,
right. So he was talking about launching. Was he talking about launching or landing, or coming back to Earth with SpaceLink or something?
Well, launching out of Vandenberg, I think, is specifically what.
Because where
California,
is that?
California, Southern California.
Oh, right. So was this the EPA, or who wanted to know about the whales and the sharks?
One of the ecological.
If it was a California, it's probably one of the state agencies.
Yeah.
That sounds like something they would do.
But you've got to estimate the potential for damage to
the sharks from sharks. What? From something landing in the ocean?
He also this wasn't part, I heard separately that they had to do a study about the effect of sonic booms on seals. And so they actually put a seal on a, you know, got a seal out of the water, put him on a backboard, you know, strapped him down, put headphones on the seal. Turned out the seals were flying with the booming sound, but anyway.
That's I tell you what, though, that's about as hard as I've laughed in a while. That was hilarious. Yeah. You know, it was good to see someone like himself to have a little fun and joke a little bit about the silliness of what we see with the
government.
Yep.
Government.
Well, one of the things I think that they've been talking about is getting him in the administration to help clean up some of the regulations.
Yeah.
Stuff. So yeah. That would be good.
He doesn't have enough to do. Elon Musk.
He doesn't seem to be bothered by it, though. He really does. He's running two or three huge businesses.
Oh, more than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the sonic boom. What now? He had to do a study. I want to try this at home. That's why.
Okay.
If I put something on the back of a seal, I have a seal.
So that's just drop them down.
So you got that part covered.
That's not a problem.
So not on your lap dog. You need mom's listening now, and you need to make sure she hears it. You're not talking about trying this on the dog.
No. It's on our seal.
Your seal. Yeah.
What am I supposed to do to him now?
They put headphones on the seal, and they played sonic booms to see if it would bother the seal.
All right.
It didn't. Okay. But they had to do it.
Yeah. All right.
Sometimes you just don't know what to say about the federal government and its colossal waste of money.
Yeah. I don't want to take away from the humor here. Can I get serious for a second?
Please.
Okay.
I'm begging you.
Is it not this obvious at this point, the difference between a far, far radical left and how they are unable to have a little bit of fun and laugh and cut up, and someone like either conservative or even someone who's a little bit more libertarian they can after the fact laugh a little bit about something. You know what I mean? Am I the only one that notices that?
No. So let me ask you this:
like the Saturday Night Live skit, some of the ones they've most recently been picking on. Well, they've always picked on the people, you know, conservatives and those on the right. But most recently, they're having a little fun with Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. But the moment they do that, they take a lot of pushback. When we all know they're kidding, it's a joke.
So let me ask you this: do you think that most Karens,
okay,
we all know what I mean by Karen, okay? My apologies, by the way, to all of our listeners who might be named Karen.
Not you.
We're talking about these women.
That's the pop culture name for a obnoxious woman.
Who won't mind her own business and is always lecturing and scolding strangers.
There actually was an original Karen. It was a person.
Is that where the name came from?
An actual event.
So what do you think? I'm just tossing this out. And our listeners are probably saying this is a meaningless conversation. It may very well be. What do you think the political orientation of your average Karen is? I would say they're left.
Oh, absolutely. Leftist.
Now I think a lot of people on the left can have fun.
Yeah.
But there is that sizable proportion.
Leftists have no sense of humor. All you got to do is look at the late night shows, Colbert.
That's what I was
all those guys, they're not funny.
Well, their sense of humor is always targeted at conservatives, Christians, Republicans.
But they're not even trying to be funny anymore. The last time you listened, all they are is bitter.
Yeah. You need to quit watching it, Steve.
All right,
because it's affecting you.
It wouldn't affect you so much.
You know? He's affecting. He's probably just seeing clips of it.
Yeah, it's my job.
Yeah.
All right. Story.
Let's go. All right. We are seeing a new trend in the Republican Party, which is early voting. Now, Republicans didn't vote early. In fact, Donald Trump told them, "Don't vote early in 2020. It's Democrats are going to cheat." But since this is now the rules that we play the game by after COVID, Donald Trump has released his Republicans to go vote early, and in fact, nationwide, more than 18 million Americans have already cast ballots, more than 10% of the overall total of people who cast ballots 4 years ago, and Republicans are in some cases outdoing Democrats. They're certainly doing much better than they did before, and I know, Tim, you wanted to hear from Mark Halperin, who's a strategist on the conservative side. He was talking about the prevalence of these early voting and what it means. Listen to cut one.
Let's lead with the lead, as they say in journalism. If the early vote numbers stay the way they are, and that's a big if, we'll almost certainly know before Election Day who's going to win the election. We're going to talk a lot about that. The reasons why Democrats might be underperforming, the prospect that they'll recover. But again, make no mistake, if these numbers hold up, in the states where we can understand even partially what the data is like, we'll know that Donald Trump's going to be president on Election Day.
That would be a good thing, because we're hearing from several people in the states that it might take more than a day. In fact, I have a cut. We don't have to play it necessarily, but we're down in Arizona. One county says it might be 10 to 12 days after the election before we actually have certified results.
From that state.
From that.
That's inexcusable. I mean, there's no way a state in 2024 in the United States of America, we're not talking about Zimbabwe. I mean, we're not talking, you know, we're not talking about some place that might not have electricity. We're talking about a modern, developed state. There's no way they should take 10, now, 13
elections
days.
Can surprise you. We don't always know when they're coming. No, we do. We know when they're coming all the time. All the time, we know exactly when they're coming.
Yes.
There's absolutely, to your point, no excuse. None.
Well, again,
Unless you're setting the stage for something.
Florida needs to be the model. Why these other states haven't learned from Florida. I'm talking about these other big states like Pennsylvania. I don't know. I don't know because Florida is the third most populated state in the country. And they'll have their vote tally wrapped up by 10 o'clock, 11 yeah. o'clock, and you'll know who won. The votes all be counted and in. And no disrespect to some of these other, like Arizona and Pennsylvania, but it's like, what are you yahoos doing?
Right.
Huh?
Pennsylvania and Michigan also, like you mentioned Pennsylvania, Michigan's also saying we're probably not going to have the results on election. Yeah,
serious? I haven't seen this. Are y'all read that?
No, listen. I think Florida counts their votes, at their absentee votes, on a daily basis. I think that's how. Type that in.
Well, we're typing in other stuff. Hang on.
Okay, well, do Google search on that because I think they're tallying their absentee ballots on a daily basis so that when they get to election day, they're already up to speed. They're already up to count. They just got to count that days. Where I think these other states like Pennsylvania, they don't even start counting absentee ballots until the polls close on election day. And I'm going, why is that?
That's silly.
Okay, I misspoke on Michigan. The Michigan Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, said she expects her state's election results to be certified the day after election.
Who said that? Michigan? Well, good for them.
End of day Wednesday. So this is, if it's 24 hours later than you would, at least 24 hours
later. Well, that's acceptable. I can, 24 hours is okay. If you got a real big state like Michigan and you got a close race, you want to make sure you get it right. What I care about, and I think this is going to happen, but is that if you do have to go into overtime, so to speak, to count votes, you need to have a Republican and a Democrat representative on site to watch every vote. If that's it, are they? Let me ask you this. I shouldn't even bring this up because it's embarrassing. When they say absentee ballots, are they sliding them into a? Is somebody sitting there sliding them into a
voting machine?
A voting machine, or are they sitting there going, "Okay, one for Trump."
You're asking the wrong team here.
You mean when they count them, or when the early voting?
Okay, I'm talking about the night of election is over, like Pennsylvania.
Someone has to
and somebody says, "Okay, polls are closed. Time to start counting the absentee voters." Sarah, Bill, John, Raymond, y'all get over here. We're going to start counting. How does that work?
That they do. They have people that actually do that. And usually, in fact, the ballots, mail-in ballots are in two envelopes. There's an outer envelope and an inner envelope. It takes, I read somewhere, about 30 seconds per ballot.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's why.
Because
Now, with the early voting, they will, in most cases, some cases, they'll know what parties. So, so many thousand Republican ballots have been returned or Democrat ballots have been returned. They don't know. It's very possible for Republicans to vote for Harris or Democrats to vote for Trump. Well, so it's not an exact science.
I don't want to create trouble when there is none. Right,
there
now.
Is.
There, right now.
Every delay gives conspiracy theorists and maybe those who actually are very concerned about real vote massaging or electoral interference. It gives them reason to doubt the system.
Well, and places like Pennsylvania, like you're talking about, and I'm looking at an NPR interview with the Secretary of State from that state. They said they're by law they're not allowed to open absentee ballots until the polls close.
They should have changed that law.
Yeah, that should have been. And so they're saying it.
Here we go again.
It might not be on election night.
Now the news is, though, relative to this, even though it may play out like it did last time, 2020, in terms of we may be days or a week out from finding out who won in terms of the state like Pennsylvania. What was I going to say?
Early voting.
But yeah, the good news is that for the Republicans is that early voting is not as heavily in favor of Democrats as it normally is. That's the good news being reported by people who are pro-Republican.
Indeed.
So, all right, next story, Steve.
All right, the United Nations, of all people, has put out a report on violence against women in sports, and they're talking about the frequency of transgender athletes. And the report talks about violence and injuries to women who compete against men in these sports. But they did give some numbers about the number of athletes, women athletes who have lost out on medals in the various sports. Our friend Riley Gaines was on Fox and Friends talking about this morning. Listen to what she has to say. Cut 10.
Well, I think this is huge. As you said, especially coming from the UN, especially off of the coattails of the Olympic Games, where we saw two athletes who had previously been banned from world championships for failing sex eligibility requirements of having two X chromosomes in a boxing ring, winning gold medals in fights against women. So this is huge. What we know, what has been reported thus far, there are 717 female athletes, a total of 1,055 medals that have been stolen over 522 competitions across 37 different sports. Again, Carly, that is just the number that has been reported and accounted for.
It's a lot of medals, a lot of athletes.
What were the numbers again?
She said 717 women athletes have been denied a medal, a total of 1,055 medals, which means some of these women would have gotten more than one medal.
Okay.
Over 522 different competitions in 37 different sports.
But this is worldwide, right?
Yes, United Nations.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how many other countries are standing for men and women's sports.
Right.
I know
it's probably just a Western issue.
Yeah.
The Europe and the United States.
Doesn't happen much in Muslim
Canada.
I'm thinking.
No, or it's not happening in China or Russia. Or
right.
Other places like that. Well, listen, it's good to have numbers on this. And listen, it would be interesting.
By the way.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out how many scholarships women athletes were denied because a biological male took their place. All these kinds of things. Hopefully these numbers will come out and change the course of this debate.
What you keep hearing from those who are in favor or want to downplay the issue is, oh, come on, it's so rare. Why are you fighting this? Do you actually know a transgender a lady that's been denied? It's a lot more common than they want you to believe.
Yeah.
If all things are equal, I want to know when the rise of the woman converting to be a man and they start dominating male sports. When is this going to happen? Because I keep waiting. Huh?
For a news story.
Why?
There are some women who decide they're men and want to compete with the men.
But Tim's talking about dominating.
They do very poorly. Yeah. They do very poorly.
It was tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
It happens. It's just you don't hear about it because no one's being denied much.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't happen.
The average woman athlete and the average male athlete competing against each other, the result is a foregone conclusion.
Right. That's why you never see a woman who says she's a man guarding LeBron James.
Right. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or the woman that says she wants to remain a woman but play in men's sports, she ends up being a kicker.
Yeah.
In football.
And a bad one.
And a bad one.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.